Thank you, Kevin, very much for that comprehensive review of Big Mariana. And we're moving on because there are many angles to this issue, and we are going to listen to Will Jones from also from SAM, Project SAM, on how Mariana is impacting his state in DC and how you have been attacking or fighting that commercialization.
Yes, so I'm Will Jones, and I'm from Washington, D.C., and it's really a privilege to be here and just share on this topic. I don't have a PowerPoint with me, so I'm just gonna paint a picture with my words here, but hopefully everyone can see me over there in the corner too. Just for 10 minutes, I want to talk about four myths about marijuana legalization and its benefits for minority communities. Throughout the United States, what is often driving this narrative is its benefits for minority communities. And so I want to talk about four myths that I've heard over and over as we talk about marijuana legalization. And I want to dissect those myths and debunk them for you, just really want us to think critically about these issues. Like I said, I'm from DC, and I got involved with this issue very honestly. My family has always been involved in the civil rights movement, way back to my great grandfather in DC, who was the first to sit in to desegregate schools in Washington, DC, with his son, my great uncle. So civil rights has always been part of who I am, part of my family, and I've always had an interest in my community, been active in my community. So when I heard about this marijuana issue, it was natural for me to be involved in it. And when I looked at all the angles and all the issues, I came to the conclusion that marijuana legalization is the worst way forward to reforming drug policy for minority communities. I'm going to go point by point with that. I want to just lay out the four points for you. You can write this down or whatever. The four myths, and then I'm going to go back and dissect each one. The first myth is that regulating marijuana like alcohol is beneficial for the minority community. We hear all the time that we should regulate marijuana like alcohol. The second one, this was on campaign signs across DC, was that legalization ends discrimination. Legalization ends discrimination. Hear that all the time. The third one is that voting for marijuana legalization is a vote to refocus police resources. And the fourth one is that I've heard so often that the marijuana issue is the civil rights issue of our time, and there's this correlation that it correlates to civil rights in the past. And again, that's very personal for me. My family is very involved with that. And so those are the four myths that I want to briefly address. And I'll start with regulating marijuana like alcohol. That's how I got involved with this movement. I heard that we're going to regulate marijuana like alcohol. And that was not a very exciting thing for me where I was living in DC at the time. And so I invite you to take a walk with me in your mind to my house in DC. I live up the street, George Avenue, Washington, DC. If you're ever in DC, I'd be glad to show you around. But so if we're walking up George Avenue in DC, you're gonna see a liquor store. And then we're gonna walk a little bit farther down the street and, you know, next block over, oh, we'll see another liquor store in the corner right there. Go right past the playground and then right past that, there's another liquor store. All throughout minority communities across the United States, this is not unique to Washington, D.C., across the United States, minority communities have a disproportionate presence of liquor stores. In fact, Johns Hopkins University, Bloomberg Health Institute, did research that found that there are 8 times as many liquor stores in minority communities as other communities. And the author of that research, Dr. Levice, said that the presence of these stores has a negative impact on the health and social infrastructure in minority communities. So when I hear we're going to regulate marijuana like alcohol, naturally I think about the liquor stores that I see on the corners of my neighborhood walking home, and I'm wondering how having a pot shop next to the liquor store in minority communities is going to help us. And I hear all the time, oh, well, you know, this is a new thing. This is 21st century. We're going to do it differently this time. This time it's not going to be like the liquor stores. We're going to have responsible regulation. This is all about regulating marijuana use. Well, they had a chance in Colorado. And if we look at the data coming out of Colorado, we're seeing the exact same pattern that the liquor industry has used targeting minority communities. They're doing that in Denver, Colorado. Here's some facts out of Colorado. Minority communities in Denver have one pot shop or pot business license for every 47 residents in the minority communities in Denver. Now, if you're not a minority, maybe legalization does look kind of okay, because you're not going to have that deluge of stores in your neighborhood. You're not going to have what we have in our communities when, if you want to go, you know, take another walk with me to buy some eggs and milk and cereal from the local convenience store, and if we're looking in that store, plastered across the windows, you're going to see tobacco and liquor advertisements. You can't even see what's inside the store. This is not an exaggeration. Again, I'd be glad to take anybody on a tour. You can't even see inside these stores because they're covered with liquor and tobacco advertisements in the convenience stores in minority communities. And so when I hear that we're going to regulate marijuana like alcohol, I'm very concerned. And there's many people in my community that share in that concern that commercializing marijuana like we've done with alcohol is, in fact, a scary thing and not a positive thing. So that was the first myth I wanted to address. Regulating marijuana like alcohol will have a detrimental impact on minority communities. It's already happened in Denver, Colorado, again, where they have one pot shop for every 47 residents in the minority communities. We don't want to see that pattern repeated in DC. That's how I got involved with this. I started a campaign called Two is Enough. It was the official campaign against legalization in DC. And I started that campaign again because I didn't want to see repeated what we've seen with the liquor industry. And I didn't want to see that repeated, targeting minority communities with that the liquor and tobacco companies have done. And actually, we just saw a video about Big Tobacco 2.0. I will share this final quote from tobacco executives. They said when they were marketing their product, someone asked them if they use, you know, which cigarette they liked, and they said, you know, we don't smoke that stuff. That's the proper word, I'll use that. We don't smoke that stuff. We reserve that right for the poor, the young, the ignorant, and the black. And so these companies, recreational addictive companies, alcohol and tobacco, have historically targeted minority communities, and we're already seeing the emerging marijuana industry doing the exact same thing. That's why our campaign said two is enough. We've already seen what alcohol's done, we've seen what tobacco's done, we don't need to repeat that experiment with marijuana. That leads me to my next myth that I've heard, though, and that is that legalization ends discrimination. And I hear a lot of people say, you know, It's unfortunate what the liquor industry has done. So maybe, you know, but this isn't really about the industry. This is about prison. This is about black people going to jail at a disproportionate rate. And I understand that. I really do. In DC, in fact, you are 8 times more likely to go to be arrested for marijuana use if you're black than if you're white. So I understand where that concern comes from, that there's across the United States, there's a you're more likely to be arrested for marijuana use if you're black than if you're white. I understand that. But what that really is smart PR from marijuana legalization. What they're doing is cherry picking criminal justice statistics to their advantage for their industry. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Yes, you are 8 times more likely in DC to be arrested for marijuana use if you're black. But know what else? There's some other statistics. If you are black, and this is across the United States, you are 11 times more likely to receive the death penalty if the victim is white than if the victim is black. And you're 22 times more likely to receive the death penalty if the defendant is black and the victim is white. So wherever, it doesn't matter what criminal justice statistic we want to pull out of the book, we as African Americans are disproportionately targeted statistically. It doesn't matter if we're talking about marijuana, the death penalty, whatever we're talking about, you're going to find that. So what we're finding is that the marijuana industry has conveniently picked a statistic that will help them and said, this is why we're legalizing. We're legalizing to help the black community. When unfortunately, it's whatever law it is, we very often get the short end of the stick in the criminal justice system. And so I'm very passionate about civil rights. I'm very passionate about us reforming the criminal justice system, that where discrimination exists, we should change that. But the marijuana issue, that's picking one out of a million. And I could, for any law that someone says they don't like, they could say, look, blacks are disproportionately targeted with that, because that's the unfortunate reality in the United States. That leads me to the third myth, which is voting for legalization is a vote to refocus police resources. Once again, in DC, and this, the last two myths that I shared were the actual campaign slogans of the legalization campaign in DC, that legalization ends discrimination and that voting for legalization is a vote to refocus police resources. That's very deceitful, and we're seeing that those slogans repeated across the United States, but here's why it was particularly deceitful in DC and the other places that are looking to legalize this coming year in the United States. We had already decriminalized marijuana in DC and other states that are going for legalization. No one was going to jail for marijuana use in DC because we had already decriminalized. We also did something else very good. We did something where if you had a prior conviction for marijuana use in DC, you could have that expunged from your record so that you could get a job, because that was another problem that people face, is that they had a marijuana arrest so they couldn't get employment. So we passed legislation that would allow you to remove that from your record. We decriminalized, we said you can remove it from your criminal record, and we allowed medical marijuana. So, and I'm not going into medical marijuana, but if you think that, you know, you have to, this is the medical issue, we had that as well. Less than a year after we passed those things, the industry comes in with full legalization, because this isn't really about getting us out of prison. This isn't really about social justice. That's the convenient lines to move the industry forward, but this is really about making money. And if we look in Colorado, here's something that's another statistic, very sad. The criminalization rate in Colorado was going down until about 2012, 2013, when it began a drastic increase. And if you look at the statistics from the Colorado Bureau of Justice, you'll see that that the prison population has drastically increased since 2013. And there's no change in the rate that African Americans are incarcerated there. So what that means is that there's more African Americans in prison since legalization in Colorado, not less. And so this is not, even though we're hearing over and over again that this is for the black community, the statistics of what's happening, you know, we can look in Colorado and other places, that's not what's really happening. Again, the criminalization rates, not for marijuana, but for other things in Colorado, has increased. So it's true, police in Colorado will not arrest you for smoking a joint anymore because it's legal. But if you are someone in authority that has problems with race, if you're unequally enforcing laws, whether it's in Colorado or any other state, and you're an officer or someone in authority that's unequally applying the laws, you're going to find an excuse to do that anyway. Eric Garner was a perfect example of that here in New York, actually, where he was allegedly selling cigarettes. Cigarettes are legal. It's not like cigarettes are illegal, so that's why they stopped Eric Garner and killed him. It was because he was allegedly selling a legal substance, cigarettes, that they jumped him and he was killed. So the idea that legalizing ends discriminations and refocuses police resources just is not following statistics, and from a minority perspective, it has not shown any results in Colorado or other states where we're looking at the emerging data. The last myth that I want to share is that it's a civil rights issue for our community. And I've kind of touched on it with these other things, but here's my final point about that. What other civil rights issue has much lower support by African Americans than by whites? And what I mean by that is, in DC, we took a poll right before we voted for legalization there. And it's true, legalization passed by about 70% in DC. So it was fairly well supported. But when you break it down and look at how people actually voted, over 70% of whites were in favor of legalization versus just about 55, 54% of blacks. And I'm asking myself, since if this is really our civil rights movement, why is the support so high from the white community and not so much from our community? And that's a question that I want to leave you all with. This is not the civil rights issue for the African American community today. If we are for reforming the criminal justice system, I'm 100% for that. And it doesn't matter what law it is, whether it's marijuana, whether it's the death penalty, we can find ways to refocus how our resources are spent in law enforcement for minorities in the United States in whatever country you're from. But the marijuana issue is conveniently cherry-picking one statistic from disproportion across the board and using that to justify their industry that is going to unequally profit off of our community, that's going to target our community. Again, statistics show we have 8 times as many liquor stores in our communities. That's going to be the same thing with pot stores in our communities. And so the marijuana industry is following the pattern of the liquor and tobacco industry. They're cherry-picking a criminal justice statistics for their benefit, and they're using it to profit off of our communities. Thank you.
Thank you.